Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the new Pope, who is both a doctrinal conservative and a humble man who rides the bus and cooks for himself. Matthew Fox, the author of The Pope's War, Why Ratzinger's Secret Crusade Has Imperiled the Church and How It Can Be Saved, joins us. An internationally acclaimed theologian, Fox was hounded out of the Catholic Church by Cardinal Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict. We will discuss the unknown chapters in the background of Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, in particular why he and the church hierarchy were silent when Argentina's military death squads were torturing and killing fellow priests and bishops who practiced liberation theology. Then we will speak with Kirby Dick, the award-winning filmmaker whose latest documentary, The Invisible War, was nominated in this year's Academy Awards. He attended Wednesday's hearings in the United States Senate on the epidemic of rape in the military, where one in three military women are victims, with 19,000 service members sexually assaulted every year. We will discuss the powerful testimony by women who have been victimized by assaults that are routinely covered up, and questions about the Uniform Code of Military Justice that allows senior officers friendly to the assailants to overturn jury verdicts. Then finally, we'll get an update from CPAC, where conservative activists are gathering to hear from Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and other Republican rising stars. Adele Stan, Alternet's Washington bureau chief, joins us to report on a gathering dominated by what John McCain calls Republican wacko birds, where moderates like Governor Christie are not invited, but birthers like Donald Trump are welcome. Adele Stan has an article at alternet.com, Rand Paul's No Progressive Hero Despite Anti-Drone Filibuster. Joining us now is Matthew Fox, who's an internationally acclaimed theologian who was a member of the Dominican Order for 34 years. Fox founded the Institute in Culture and Creation Spirituality, which operated for 7 years, but then became a prime target of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope John Paul II's chief inquisitor and head of the Congregation of Doctrine and Faith. Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict, silenced Fox for 1 year in 1988 and ultimately forced him to step down as director of the ICCS. 3 years later, he expelled Fox from the order. Fox has taught at Stanford University, Vancouver School of Theology, the Association for Transpersonal Psychology, and California Institute for Integral Studies. He is currently visiting scholar with the Academy for the Love of Learning, headquartered in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and is the author of 28 books, which have sold more than 1.5 million copies. His bestsellers include Original Blessing, A Spirituality Named Compassion, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, and Prayer, A Radical Response to Life. His latest book is The Pope's War, Why Ratzinger's Secret Crusade Has Imperiled the Church and How It Can Be Saved. Welcome to Background Briefing, Matthew Fox.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And I just wanted to get something clarified about what the new Pope said today, Pope Francis I. He warned that the Catholic Church would become a compassionate NGO without spiritual renewal, saying that what would happen would be like when children make sandcastles and then it all falls down. Can you translate that to a layperson?
Pardon me for laughing. That your question was funny, translating it for a layperson. Well, I'm certainly on board with spiritual renewal, and I'm on board with the idea that the whole thing is collapsing. It can all fall down like a sandcastle. I begin my book on the Pope's War with a beautiful story, really, from Bede Griffiths, who is a wonderful monk, an authentic, very holy man. He's deceased now, but he lived in India for 50 years. He's from Britain, Benedictine monk. And he told me last time I saw him before he died, he said, you know, don't worry about the Vatican. Don't even look over your shoulder. Keep doing what you're doing, planting the new shoots, because one day it's all going to come tumbling down, just like the Berlin Wall. And I thought that was a very interesting observation, because I think we're living at such a time. I think that this pedophile crisis and its cover-up and the financial shenanigans that have been going on for so long, so much of it has is proof that the thing is tumbling down. The Inquisition has returned under the last two popes, and so thinking has stopped. It's like General Motors firing all their engineers. They fired all their theologians, essentially. I have a list of 105 in the back of my book. I'm just one of them, but we've been hounded, harassed, expelled. Some have died of heart attacks and had nervous breakdowns. because the ideology running things is that only the Pope is the teacher. So, you know, it is tumbling down. I'm glad he has that much of awareness. I'm not sure that I hope and I pray that he can rehabilitate things, but I'm concerned because his spirituality comes from what I can understand about his story, from Communion and Liberation, which is a neo-fascist movement out of Italy, very parallel to Opus Dei, which was out of Spain. He's very committed to that movement, as is Cardinal Ratzinger, as is Cardinal Law, who is the notorious ex-Archbishop of Boston, who passed pedophile priests from parish to parish. And Communion Liberation, and I have a section on them, half a chapter in my Pope book, is all about hierarchy. It's all about obeying. And it's preoccupied with sexual morality, birth control, condoms, no condoms, abortion, and so forth. It has nothing to say really to the world that is inspiring or liberating or justice oriented, really. So it's a concern to me that this man, whether he has the stuff to break out of that box of Communion Liberation, which really voted him in, because it is the especially the German wing of the church that has been promoting that. And many bishops around the world, in South America as well as in Italy, have fought it tooth and nail because they realize it's a sect. It's as is Opus Dei, and yet these are the organizations that the last two papacies have put all the wind in the sails of these organizations. So this is part of what this Pope has to confront. Whether he's capable, I do not know. I send my prayers and I hope, but I don't think we should be looking to popes these days. I think we have to push the restart button on Christianity of the grassroots, and I think the papacy as we know it is finished. It's become theater. It's a museum, and we have to start the church over, and the church is the people. That's what Vatican II said, it's the people, not the hierarchy.
So if the church is the theater, is this new pope then a kind face on a cruel theology?
I think you put it very, very well. And I would just, as I say, hope and pray that maybe his theology could be pierced, could be reinvented, that the Holy Spirit might really zap him. Miracles do happen. But yes, I think he's a kind face. He has a kind story, the story of taking buses to work and cooking his own meals and all that's very nice. But his record, for example, on standing up to the military junta and the terrible destruction they did, including murdering fellow bishops and fellow Jesuit priests and torturing them, he was not heard around that when he was in his 50s. So that's not a good sign. His attacks on liberation theology and base communities all over Latin America, that's a very bad sign. You see, Communion Liberation is very anti-liberation theology. A very interesting thing has come out in the last 24 hours. A fellow from Argentina who did interviews with him, sort of an autobiographical writer, he said, "This man is not a third world person." Now, that's an amazing sentence since he was born in Argentina and has lived there his whole life, except when he went away to study in Germany about 8 years ago, and it's odd to get a doctorate in your late 60s when you're already a cardinal. But he did that. He went to Germany. I think in Germany he hung out with Ratzinger's kind of people, and he just got more cemented into the Communion Liberation ideology, and they kind of prepared him for this job to follow Ratzinger, because the German bishops are the most influential in the world because they bring more money to the Vatican than anyone else. Because they tax in Germany, you know, they tax Catholics. Whether you come to church or not, the tax money keeps flowing, and then it flows from Germany into Rome. So I think that's very significant that that his biographer says he's not a third world person. So the front is that he's a third world person. He looks like a third world person. He's lived as a third world person. But his consciousness, is nowhere near. I mean, you can talk to people of Argentina or read what they're blogging about, and it's rare to find anyone who thinks highly of him, frankly. They call him an arch-conservative. He blasted gays and the idea of gay marriage as a work of the devil, the father of lies, he says, has birthed this. The president of Argentina said that he was sounding like an Inquisition, like the Middle Ages. And so, you know, you hope and you pray that he'll be better than it looks like. He does have a disposition that seems tender and genuine. I liked how before he gave a blessing, he asked for one. I thought that was a big improvement. But you know, you got to go deeper than that. Can this guy really clean up the mess in the Curia? I think, practically speaking, if I were a journalist, I would watch for his appointment as Secretary of State. The Secretary of State in the Vatican runs things. And will he really appoint someone who's tough, who knows how to change things inside, and who really wants reform inside that rat's nest? Or will he just appoint someone who will allow things to continue as they are? And because the corruption there is the greatest corruption since the Borgias. This is not an exaggeration. It's the greatest corruption since the Borgias.
Again, I'm speaking with Matthew Fox, who's an internationally acclaimed theologian who was a member of the Dominican Order for 34 years. Fox founded the Institute for Culture and Creation Spirituality, which operated for 7 years, but then became a prime target of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope John Paul II's chief inquisitor and head of the Congregation of Doctrine and Faith. Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict, silenced Fox for 1 year in 1988 and ultimately forced him to step down as director of ICCS. 3 years later, he expelled Fox from the order. Matthew Fox is the author of 28 books, which have sold more than 1.5 million copies, and his bestsellers include Original Blessings, A Spirituality Named Compassion, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, and Prayer, A Radical Response to Life. His latest book is The Pope's War, Why Ratzinger's Secret Crusade Has Imperiled the Church and How It Can Be Saved. So Matthew Fox, the fact that Pope Francis I is a Jesuit, and the fact that the first thing he did, apparently, was summon a meeting with Father Federico Lombardi, the head of the Vatican Radio and the Vatican's press office, which has been run by the Jesuits, but they've been basically kept out of the loop, particularly by this retiring or Pope Emeritus Benedict Ratzinger, who just sort of basically phoned, they just received orders from the Vatican Secretary of State. But apparently that's changed. So does that give you any, is there anything significance to that?
Are you sure is Father Lombardi the press secretary for the Pope? That name?
Federico Lombardi, head of the Vatican Radio and the Vatican Radio. Press Office, yeah.
I see, okay. Somehow I thought that the head of the press office was Opus Dei, not a Jesuit. But I do know that the Jesuits used to run the radio, but I think they were trying to... Opus Dei was trying to take it over from the Jesuits. So that's kind of interesting that he's...
Yeah, well, that's true. The Vatican Radio has been run by the Jesuits, not the Vatican Press Office.
Ah, okay.
But the fact that...
A big distinction.
Yeah.
Because the press office is run by Opus Dei and has been since John Paul II. And I tell you, I was always amazed that the press and the media never thought that was odd and never asked them about Opus Dei and why Opus Dei is representing the Pope so thoroughly. But, yeah, there's a battle within the Jesuit order, of course. Remember that four Jesuits were martyred in El Salvador, and just like, of course, Oscar Romero, the bishop, was. But you see, the struggle for liberation theology in Latin America has been a struggle of life and death, and that's why to see this man who did not take the side of the martyrs but linked up with communal liberation instead is disconcerting. Maybe he's, you know, maybe now that he's in a position where he can do what he really wants to do, maybe he will make some significant moves. I hope that's the case.
Well, Matthew Fox, Pope Pius XII, of course, was continually criticized, both when he was alive and since, about his apparent indifference to the Holocaust and the extent to which he sort of played footsie with the Third Reich. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, apologists for Pope Pius have always said that he really did some courageous things behind the scenes, but they never said what they were. And I think it's extremely important that for this new pope to reveal what was going on with him during Argentina's dirty war, as you mentioned, when his fellow priests and bishops were being murdered by the military junta and tortured and disappeared. Nothing is more profound in terms of my curiosity. So are we going to get some clarity on that?
Well, again, I think you're asking a very good question, but you're asking it the wrong person in this case. I think you're right to put that question to him and to his handlers, if you will. What really, where was he? You know, where was he? I understand that very soon, one of the generals who was responsible for that, for the murder of the bishop, because they did murder a liberation theologian bishop, that he is up for trial very soon, and that could shed tremendous light on this whole thing, exactly how it went off and who responded and who didn't. I have been told that Argentinians don't like to call it the dirty war. They just want to call it a dictatorship. It was a war of the dictators. And many people did stand up. Many priests stood up and sisters and lay leaders, and they were tortured and killed, just like in Chile, many stood up to Pinochet, and he tortured and murdered many priests and nuns and lay people. But Pope John Paul II picked for his Secretary of State Sodano, who was the ambassador, papal ambassador to Chile, and was very close to Pinochet. Pinochet gave him a special award. And this guy, Sodano, then ran the church. He was Secretary of State for, 26 years that John Paul II was Pope. I mean, that alone is a scandal of scandals. Then Bertone, who was Cardinal Ratzinger's hand-picked Secretary of State, he was very close to this Father Maciel, this horrible priest who abused over 20 seminarians in his seminary and was married on the side to two women, had four children, all of whom he sexually abused. And he was so close to John Paul II that he would take him on plane rides with him when he would go to different countries. And yet this Bertone, who's Secretary of State, wrote a preface to Maciel's book saying, oh, this is the work of such a holy, holy, holy man. Actually, it's been proven that the very book by Maciel was a plagiarism. It plagiarized. 80% of it was taken from a priest who died in 1943. And then Bertone was praising Maciel and his silly book. So, you know, there have been such goings on for 42 years that it makes you almost numb to think about it. And the press has given John Paul II a complete carte blanche, a Teflon papacy, and all of this pedophile stuff exploded under John Paul II, and he did nothing. I like to compare it to the Penn State pedophile crisis. You know, once they got through their denial and realized this is happening and happened, they fired everybody in sight. They put people in jail. They even tore down the statue of the football coach, who was such an icon. In the Vatican, they're not tearing down John Paul II's statue. They're trying to canonize him a saint. So, you know, this is, as I say, this is corruption quadrupled.
So on Saturday, when the new Pope Francis meets the world's media at a special papal audience, you mentioned my question was directed to the wrong person, which is what were you doing during the dirty war, Pope Francis? So do you think anybody's likely to ask that question? Is there any...
Why don't you go?
Well, you can ask my employers to give me a plane ticket. This is impoverished public radio. They'll, you know... They don't give me the means to even make a daily radio program, so I don't see them flying me to Rome.
Well, you must know your journalist brothers and sisters better than I do.
I do, but I just wonder whether it's going to be a real press conference or right. One of those ones where somebody picks out the hand-picked questioners.
Exactly, and where it's all piety. And you know, the press tends to be overly pious with these religious hierarchical figures, and it kind of get very sentimental and watery. I mean, that CNN yesterday was that kind of thing. It was impossible to watch for that reason. And part of it, I think, is the ignorance of the press. I mean, I think in America, the press is profoundly ignorant of religion. And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous because you give these people, a free ride. For example, like I point out in my book, and this is fully documented there, 2 months after Reagan was sworn in as president, his National Security Council met in Santa Fe, and their one question was, how could we destroy liberation theology in Latin America? They concluded, we can't destroy it, but we can split the church. Then the head of CIA, Casey, who was a far right-wing Catholic, probably Opus Dei, took satchels, 29 trips he took to the Vatican with satchels full of cash to give to the Pope, to give to Solidarity, and in return the Pope would go after liberation theology in Latin America. So, I mean, the confluence of religion and politics and government in this country is profound, and yet so many media remain ignorant of religion. And they should be reading my book on the Pope. Someone very smart told me the other day, mine is the only book out there that really connects the dots on what's been happening the last 42 years in the papacy. And it's a big story. And it's not just about Ratzinger retiring. It's about the end of an 1,800-year-old institution in the West, and it's not dying gracefully. And what comes next? And that's how the last third of the book is about what comes next. And I think what comes next is small groups, based communities, trying to get back to the real teachings of Jesus. And the Vatican II helps, too. And these last two popes have been stuffing Vatican II, not playing out its principles, but actually deliberately ignoring the principles of the Second Vatican Council. And that's why I say they're in schism, because that's what schism is. When popes trump councils, that's not the tradition. In Catholicism, councils trump popes. But for 42 years, these two papacies have been turning back the clock on Vatican II, and everyone is paying a horrible price for this.
Well, Matthew Fox, I thank you so much for joining us here today, and I just can't wait to see the Vatican Bank closed down and its relationship to the CIA exposed.
Well, there you go. I wish I had the money to send you to Rome. You can ask that one important question.
Right. Well, I'll do what I can to find out. And I thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Matthew Fox, who's an internationally acclaimed theologian. He was a member of the Dominican Order for 34 years. Fox founded the Institute in Culture and Creation Spirituality, which operated for 7 years, but then became a prime target of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope John Paul II's chief inquisitor and head of the Congregation of Doctrine and Faith. Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict, silenced Fox for 1 year in 1988 and ultimately forced him to step down as director of the ICCS. 3 years later, he expelled Fox from the order. Fox is the author of 28 books, which have sold more than 1.5 million copies. His bestsellers include Original Blessing, A Spirituality Named Compassion, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, and Prayer, A Radical Response to Life. His latest book is The Pope's War, Why Ratzinger's Secret Crusade Has Imperiled the Church and How It Can Be Saved. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back looking into the epidemic of rape in the U.S. military.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.